For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am curious, based on that return, what kind of a soup would Jerry Palm be? CBSSports.com, chief bracketologist, man who knows the non-conference schedules of all 365 men's college basketball teams at Division I level. What kind of soup would you be?
That's an excellent question. Thank I've you. Never given that any thought.
I'm shocked.
I would probably be... and I'm going to just totally butcher the pronunciation of this semi-intentionally. Pasta e fagioli.
You are the best, man. I'm not even going to correct it because I'm just going to leave it out there. But it's a quality soup. I thought you were going to go like gazpacho, which is a cold soup. Because that's you throw cold water on ACC fans.
And I prefer to think of how I comfort people with my
soup is comforting. There's no question about that. Gosh, you are the best. Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, chief bracketologist. I think the last time we spoke, there were just three ACC teams in your bracket. And
yes,
I detected a fourth. In your bracket. We still have issues, but I detected a fourth. Thank you. What gives? Did the league just get dramatically better?
No, Tony Bennett got his team playing better. They've won, what, eight in a row? I mean, yeah, they're pretty hot. You know, one of those was at Clemson, which is, you know, as I have talked about with you before, one of the few teams you can resume build against. And so Virginia has picked a good time to start playing better, and there's not much of a margin for error, although I've got them in the middle of the bracket, so there's a little margin for error. But the problem is that the ACC hasn't got enough good teams that you can lose to, where you're not starting to hurt yourself. So, Virginia's done a great job. They're going to get, I think, Wake Forest this weekend, which is a big game for Wake Forest because they need to beat somebody like that. Couldn't quite get it done last night against Duke, but so Virginia's up there now, and I don't know if that's a great team to resume build against, but it's better than any of the others except Carolina, Duke, and Clemson.
Right, and Wake Forest's best win so far is probably their win against Florida, happened.
They beat Virginia at home, didn't they?
I mean that's very possible. So long ago, I don't even remember. But I do want to ask you about, and I'm not saying that it's wrong to refer to the what they have done in quad one games or quad one and quad two, but it does seem self-fulfilling to me. It's a cycle. Because I went through all of the Big 12's schedules. And the non-conference schedules were, other than Houston and Kansas and Baylor.
Yep.
The non-conference schedules for the other teams are tragically bad. And yet, it doesn't hurt them. So, not only did they not play anybody good, they actively played everybody bad. Like,
you have four or five teams, maybe six, that played at least seven quad four non-conference games. At least seven. And a couple played like nine quad four non-conference games. That's just like not even trying.
9, 9, 8, 8, 8, 10, 8, 8. It is amazing to me that, and because of that, so like you have Iowa State as a three seed, I believe, in your current bracket, right?
Yeah.
And Iowa State's net rating is 9. And I can't for the life of me figure out how the numbers work out where they're number 9 in the net.
I will explain that to you very easily.
Sure.
It's all about margin of victory. KenPom, the net, both heavily influenced by margin of victory. Strength of schedule is definitely part of it, but it's also based on, you know, like KenPom is trying to predict margin.
Right.
Therefore, he's going to do base everything on margin of victory. I mean, ultimately, strength of schedule is going to come down to that. There's no one-loss component in it. The net has a small one-loss component, but those two rankings correlate statistically very close together. So it's, when the committee went out and created the net, it was like, we're going to try and get as close to KenPom as we can without his formula. And that's basically what they've done. So those two are heavily, heavily margin of victory based, and the selection process is not. So, you know, it's fine for the net to be that way, I guess. They're just putting teams into quadrants with the net. They're not using the net to decide it.
But they're using the quadrants. But my point is that they're using the quadrants to separate. And like, you're not, we can't say on one hand they're not selecting based on net rating, but your net rating and your selection is based on how you did in their quadrants, which is comical to me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Crude as that, but
okay.
Because not all quad one wins are the same,
right?
And it is, you might have a quad two win or two that's better than some of your quad one wins. I mean, it's more nuanced than that.
So
they're not just sitting there and looking at records versus quadrants and not, you know, digging into details, because you wouldn't need a 5-day meeting otherwise.
So what is the justification?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Your basic point is right.
So what is the justification?
It's more subtle than that.
You've got TCU in your field, right? You've got Texas Tech in your field. What is the basis for including them in the field? TCU in the non-conference beat nobody in the top 100, zero top 100 teams in the non-conference. Yep. Texas Tech, I think Michigan might still be in the top 100. I'm not sure. Like, how did they get in without beating a top 100 team outside of the league?
Well, you don't have to. That's only about a 30-year schedule.
Still.
So
why do we talk about it? Why is it even a book?
Because if you don't do anything in your league and you didn't do anything out of your league, then you're not going to get in. We see teams get left out almost every year. Usually major conference teams that got left out because their non-conference schedule was crap and they didn't do enough in the league to make up for it. So, you know, there's a risk to doing that. But it's, you know, so if you go to a site where you can find average margin of victory, for these teams, you're going to see that there's a pretty decent, you know, if you're looking to see why is such and such so high, you'll find them high in the average margin of victory. Michigan State and Gonzaga, who really haven't had great years, are in the top 25 of the net. And it's because when they do win, they win big, you know, or they don't lose by much. Kansas State is terrible in the net because they've got 6 overtime wins. You know, and so you're not winning by much when you win in overtime.
Right. Usually. That is true.
So they've actually done pretty well, although their non-conference schedule was also crap. But they've gotten some you know, their profile is better than 75th or whatever they are today in the net, and it's, you know, it's because they don't win by enough.
Cherry Palm, CBSSports.com chief bracketologist, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show at JP Palm CBS. I love having fun with you on this. I am not about to suggest what you think I'm about to suggest. But when I look at the profile of Iowa State and Georgia Tech, there's not a lot of difference other than Georgia Tech has been poor in league play. But in terms of high-profile wins,
a poorer league as well.
But how do we know that? I'm not saying that the Big 12 isn't better than the ACC. I would submit that the difference is a lot closer than anybody wants to admit, because we are propping up Big 12 teams because they have beaten other overrated Big 12 teams that somehow give them quad one and quad two wins that they shouldn't otherwise have. I will die on that hill that some of the teams that give you a quad one win on your home court do not. BYU is not one of the top eight teams in the country, according to the net. Right? It is fraudulent.
But nobody would seed them that highly.
I'm not saying they're seed them, but because
who you
bring them.
Georgia Tech to?
Iowa State. Or BYU. Right. I'm not saying Georgia Tech is as good as them. If they were as good at them, they wouldn't be whatever they've lost so many conference games, and some of them are bad, right? But they also have.
Georgia Tech is 10-14.
Right. They have wins. Well, their biggest problem, to borrow from an Abraham Lincoln quote, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt, because they actually played a pretty decent non-conference schedule, unlike all of these other teams, not all, but a lot of these teams in the Big 12 that just opted out of that. So it all kind of runs in a cycle.
They haven't been good in the league either.
That's the separator. If Georgia Tech were 14-10 in the league, rather 14-10 overall, rather than 10-14, I mean, I could make 1,000 arguments why they're better than some of these teams.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to tell me probably which four of your games you're changing, but still, it's.
Well, even if we change the bad ones.
14-10, if they're 14-10 right now instead of 10-14, and they get rid of the four quad three losses.
I mean,
there's probably still in trouble, but
beat Boston College. Look, they lost to Boston College and Notre Dame both on their own floor, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're better than Iowa State, but when you look at their profile, one of those, by the way, was in overtime, so Notre Dame didn't get a bounce for that. Yeah. Shame on you, Notre Dame, for winning in overtime. So the more I delve into this, the more angry I get at how the Big 12 is going to have more than twice as many teams in the NCAA tournament as the ACC, and it's all built on a house of cards. I know who to bet against now when we get to the tournament. Kansas, Houston, and I'm not even sure about Houston, to be honest. Baylor, I don't think is as good, but Baylor's played a good non-conference schedule, at least challenged themselves. Everybody else, I'm betting against them. Everyone. All of them.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you.
You're not betting on him either, are you, Jerry?
I tend not to bet. It usually doesn't go well for me.
Yeah, it doesn't go well for me either. All right. You're a perfect sounding board for my rant.
I think this year, if I were going to bet, I would bet that Purdue wins its first tournament game this year. And after that, something stupid's going to happen because, well, it's Purdue and something stupid happens.
How many good teams are in the Big Ten? Purdue.
Three. I mean, Purdue's, potential national champion good. Illinois and Wisconsin Illinois is Sweet 16 possible good. Wisconsin, up until 2 weeks ago, was Sweet 16 possible good. And that's about it. You know, Northwestern and Nebraska, Michigan State all have some chance of making the tournament. Northwestern and Nebraska have a problem. They don't get to play at home in the tournament. Michigan State's just disjointed. I just feel like at any moment the light could go on for Michigan State. They are not playing to the level of their talent.
Right.
They have not once all year played to the level of their talent. And if the light ever goes on for those guys, if they ever figure it out, they're a danger, but time's running out.
Jerry Palm, you're the best. At JP Palm CBS on Twitter. Thank you much. Next time I definitely need to rant about something, I will call you.
Okay, and I thought the thing that you were, you said that I would question you on was you were going to change my choice of soup,
I would not change your choice. That's fine. I was just not going to correct the pronunciation of pasta fagioli.
I like my version better.
Yeah, it's great. That's what you've done. You have pronounced it as it looks, and I have no problem with that. Thank you, sir.
All right, talk to you later.
You got it. Pasta, whatever, fagioli.
I have no idea what he
phenomenal.
Said.
That is so phenomenal. Hey, look, we can talk some soup now.
I like the soup talk.
All right. I'm going to move off it, but it's a circular event. When if we had Gary Parrish on here last week or 2 weeks ago, this team is blank in quad one games. Okay. That is a fact. Now we have to delve into what are those quad one games and should some of those games be quad one games? The Big 12 right now has more quad one opportunities because they've gamed the math. Not because their teams are better, which is what it's supposed to be based on. It's because they've gamed the math. They've cracked the formula. Like I said, not even in basketball anymore does the system reward teams that schedule well.
Yeah.
Not even in basketball anymore. The Big 12 is proof of that.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. Order online and pick up at your local store. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.